All right, look what it says in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, that adoption there, by the way, does not mean, as we think it in the Western culture, somebody's outside the family adopted into the family. Adoption here is kind of like a bar mitzvah. It's kind of like a debutante. It's kind of like somebody coming out. They've become of age, so they're going to take on adult task and so forth. But this adoption means it's a ceremony of growing up. So adoption, and it says here that you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And the Lord showed me one of those places is slavery in the Bible. And this whole idea of being a slave is really coming from Galatians. And Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, because you have never grown up, you're going to be you differ nothing from a slave, though you be lord of all. Though you own the whole estate, because you never grew up, you're still treated like a slave. Are you all with me? Okay. I can see I have a lot of enthusiasm. Look at what it says in verse, look at verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto when? Now. You know, I was someplace down in Panama or whatever, and I saw a sign, save our planet, you know. And of course, we have this emphasis on green. But the thing about it is that the planet, the problem that's with the planet, the reason why it's groaning is because it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There are things happening in this planet that natural man cannot fix. And it's a destruction. It's kind of eating itself from the inside. So people don't know that. They think it's gas house emissions or something. Okay, but anyway... So he is saying here about, first of all, that we are led by the Spirit of God with the sons of God. That means mature offspring. And he goes on down and says, we have not received again the spirit of slavery. And he says that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now that's the biggest, one of the biggest things that the people of God have to take into account, that we are heirs. We are heirs. Now, once, let me just say this, once you get born again, then you are a new creature in Christ. You are something you never were before. And you have no, technically, legally, no past once you get born again. Now that's one thing. But the next thing is if you confess your sin. Now, this is not talking about a sinner, because he can't confess anything but Christ. But if you, as a believer, sin and confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all what? Unrighteousness. Now, a lot of people don't like to preach that because it gives folks say, well, you're just giving them a license of sin. They're going to sin anyway. I'm going to give them the truth. They do with what they want. Okay? Sin has consequences, folks. All right. Now, that word forgiveness is a Greek word. It has to do with blotting. Blotting. It has to do with he blotteth out all our transgressions. I want to show you this. Something tells me to do this. Let's go back to Isaiah and chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 45, I think it is. 43. Isaiah 43. All right, if you have Isaiah 43, put it up on the board, and you'll find it later. Verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not, come on, remember thy sins. Next verse, put me in remembrance. Now that's not saying put me in remembrance of your sin. The thing that you don't want to do is put God in remembrance of your sin. The reason why you don't is because now you're dishonoring him. Because he just said, I blotted it out. And if you bring it back up to him, you're trying to say his word you're not honoring. You better get what I'm saying. You see, that's the fullness of what I'm talking about here in Vengeance and Recompense. If you are walking in an attitude of condemnation, you can very easily read the Bible and interpret it saying something it never said, because you're walking in a perverted attitude. You were never supposed to live in condemnation. Paul said it like this, where in Romans chapter 1, or I think it was, he said, there is therefore now, is that Romans chapter 1? Ephesians chapter, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, rather. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation. See, Paul had to deal with this because he was hauling Christians off the jail because he thought he was doing right. Amen. But if you deal only with a letter, meaning the law, the Bible says the letter killeth. See, it was designed, the letter was designed to lead you to Christ. It was designed to let you know that you can't walk perfect before God. Not as a person who doesn't know God. So as we look at this, remember now, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, he not only said it there, I think he said it in Hebrews as well. Okay? Now, let's go over there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. I think that's where it is. Hebrews chapter 8. You know, people sing songs, you know, I'm just a worm in the dust. I'm so unworthy. You know, all kinds of mess. And they kind of start wondering, how come nothing is working for me? Where did I tell you to go? Well, it's over here somewhere. I know it is. Here it is. Verse 12. And I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will what? I remember no more. No. This is key. The reason why it's key is because you can't allow God to use you to do big things with small faith. See, and small faith or no faith comes when your faith is contaminated. And guilt, shame, condemnation, all those things. Condemnation is a disease of the spirit, just like cancer is a disease of the flesh. It's designed to weaken it.
Yes.
You got what I'm saying?
Yes.
Fear is a disease. I won't say it's a disease of the spirit, but it is a it's against your faith. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You're not supposed to fear anything. Now, I'm only saying this now because people have come through things and they've done things wrong. Okay, did you confess it? Are you following what I'm saying now? Did you confess it? No. God is faithful to forgive you.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I'm not saying there's not some physical consequences of what has happened, but I'm saying now you've got faith enough to be able to do something about the circumstances. You can't do big things with small faith. Faith is oh boy, I tell you so much about faith. The idea about having condemnation in your life, it works against what God is trying to do. Because he knows you've got to walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Sight. So for him to finish the work that he's trying to do for the sons of God, you get saved and all of a sudden start remembering what you did. Now, what you did in the past begins to try to override what God's trying to do through you in the future.
Amen.
Remember, one of the things, Lord have mercy, I did not mean to preach this. This is not part of my sermon. The biggest thing that I see that condemnation does, one, it robs your faith, but it robs you of a sense of righteousness. And righteousness is a thing that you need to get off your senses. See, righteousness says, I have a right to answer prayer.
That's right. Amen.
But if I'm condemned, I always trying to figure out if God heard me.
That's right, preacher.
God hearing you has nothing to do with what you can feel.
Amen. Amen.
He says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, just feel like you heard them and you shall have it. Did he say that? And the song, give me the something that I can feel. We don't need to feel anything. We don't need to feel anything. That's what got you into problems of where you at right now. Now, don't let me preach this out here this afternoon. This is the way this is happening. This is the way the bank got done. This is the way the malls got built. This is the way the airplane got paid for. This is the way nothing I can feel. And I told my wife the other night, I said, baby, I'm about to take this thing back to the military. Because, see, in the military, see, it's like, You get somebody comes in and you stand at attention and so forth. They said, at ease, soldier. And you, at ease or whatever have you. And you don't look at the person. Because it could be a woman. It could be a black man. Could be a yellow man. It don't make any difference who it is. You don't even look at the face. You look at one thing. What's on their shoulder? You look at one thing, their rank. And when it outranks you, the answer is sir.
Yeah.
The answer is ma'am. You don't even, you didn't ask him whether they're from Georgia or from Jamaica.
Yeah.
You didn't ask, come on, you didn't see nothing. You didn't hear him say anything. You didn't hear nothing about whether they went to college, whether they dropped out of high school. You didn't know nothing. Only thing you know is you saw somebody that outranked you and your key is a pop to attention until they say at ease. It ain't about feelings. It's about being under authority. And just whatever he says, that's what it is. If he says, your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more, don't you bring it up. Now, this is the way the Bible is designed to work. That's why they call them disciples, because it's discipline. Yeah. What are you doing? You're disciplining your spirit. You're saying that my flesh is going to stay under. It's not going to tell me where I stand with God. When God says that this is mine, I'm not going to ask my flesh, is that true? I'm going to say it's mine and I'm going to possess it. didn't even mean to come this way. But that's what it is. See, it's all feelings. It's all feelings, folks. What he said about me, she didn't think that much about me, so forth and so on. And this, none of this is about feelings. This isn't about feelings. You couldn't do this with feelings. The enemy is an accuser of the brethren. So when you go to prayer, here you go, get down to pray. Now, the enemy will try to bring up your past. Come on now. And try to make you feel condemned so that you can't come boldly to the throne. But see, you got to understand, the blood has got you covered. You got to get down there and know that the blood speaks, man. And it speaks of better things than Abel. Or yeah. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I'm preaching here on vengeance and recompense has to do with your rights in these last days. And this is something that if you allow it to come in through you, that it'll do the work itself. You don't do the work. Lord have mercy. Can I go this far? The goodness about God is that the Holy Spirit is here. This when you really get into the flow. I went overseas. Here's a man that's got his auditorium seats 55,000. Now he is in three services. I talked to Mother Wee. He said, Bill, let me tell you something. He said, last week we had 26,000 cars come on the property. This is that Sunday service. And 300 buses. Now, wait a minute. That's a lot of bathrooms, if nothing else. Am I right about it? Logistically, you're going to have to figure that one out. You know, it's a man, woman, two babies, one old, one young, so forth. You've got to figure this out. But he said, you know, what did he tell you, baby? He hadn't prayed a prayer for himself in I don't know, 8 years, 9 years or something. He doesn't have to. He said, before you call on me, I'll answer. See, you can move into a place that your spirit is doing all the work while you sleep. This is I'm telling you now. See, I'm talking about something here. Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me? We have just touched the surface of this thing. For you to toil one moment trying to think something out is putting you back under the curse. Now understand, God is so merciful, he'll meet you where you are. Amen. Well, I'm believing God for a 1975 Nova. Okay, fine. Do you know God will get that to you? But I saw where Jesus got on a donkey that never was rode. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Don't come down on me. I'm just saying he'll meet you right where you are. God will manifest to you as you perceive him. Are y'all with me here? How did I get on this? I have no idea. But remember this. You are forgiven. It's done. It's done. Now, you can work back through it all you want to and go down and hear some unbelieving, some believer, and so forth. But I'm done. It's done in my life. Watch this. And every time you rehearse it, you weaken your spirit. Because you got to cycle through it again. Forget it. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Didn't say let some. Well, I just want to tell you, you've seen people who are in the hospital. The first thing they do when they get out, you know, is a girl, yeah, they cut me and they put it. Let me show you where it is. It's right up here. You know, folks like to show you their wounds. And you got to tell them, girl, put your dress down. I don't want to see that. All right, now let's look at this. I don't know how I got on that. That was... Okay. Let's go to Hosea chapter 12, please. Hosea chapter 12. See, you made me leave my happy home. Okay. Well, all them songs, it took a fine time to leave me, Lucille. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. This is something, isn't it? You don't need to rehearse all that. I'm talking about them songs. They got all that in it. And you know you remember those songs. Am I right about it? Sometimes you call them songs. So just, you know, blot them out. Tell the Lord, take it away. Can I finish what I'm about to say here? Flow. Okay, here we go. Hosea chapter. Who said that? Who said that? Come on. Okay, come on. Come on up. You got this. I got to give him $100. Now, did somebody else say that over here? I didn't think so. Okay, now, if you look at this, look what it says in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. And by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet was he preserved. Wow. See, there's a set time, Psalm 102 verse 13, of the favor of God coming on your life. And let me say this too. You know, some folk don't like my humor. Now, I don't know why. Good. Do I need to go any further? Good. I was just going to say, if you don't like it, don't come back. But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to just keep that to myself. Now, if you want to hear this message without interruption, buy the second service tape. All right, now look what it says here in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Now, I'm only saying to you now that it was by a prophet. There was a set time that Israel was supposed to be delivered out of Egypt. Understand, they had to go in there for 400 years. Just like in Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah prophesied, hey, Israel, you're going into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. Right away, here comes another prophet out, and he says, wait a minute, you don't have to go in for 70 years. You can go in for 2 years. The Lord say you're going to be delivered. Jeremiah, even himself, the Bible said amen. But he went back and got along with God, and God said, go back and take the yoke of wood that I had given you and carved out for you to show in bondage, and then take that, break it, and build back a yoke of iron. And he went back and he said, that prophet was wrong. You're going to be in there 70 years, and for that prophet who said that, he's going to die. And he died the same year. Now, I'm only saying that once God says something and speaks it by a prophet, it cannot be overturned. It cannot be undone even by another prophet. I'm telling you that this is a set time of the favor of God that's in your life. And that God is going to come in and justice is going to be done. At every place where the enemy has hindered you, God
destiny. You will reach what God has placed in your heart, and you will get to your promised land.
Now sit down, let me finish this.
So, it took vengeance to set Israel free. Moses needed vengeance to take his place. I'm talking about his place as positioned by God to get God's to get people free. When we're talking about the second coming of the Lord, then the emphasis is going to be placed highly on justice. Justice, glory to God, anything as Jesus comes closer to his second coming. Now, nobody knows when he's coming. Even Jesus, the Bible says, doesn't know. Because if he knew, you are joint heirs. You find out. So, my point to you is nobody knows. So, as we get closer to his coming, we see the signs of the times. He said there'll be earthquakes or natural disasters. Look down there in the Gulf. Look over there in Guatemala. Look over there in England or wherever, Azores, wherever they had that volcano. I'm telling you, it's going to be natural disasters. He told you that. He told you it's going to be famines. People are going to be starving. He told you it's also going to be pestilence. That's disease. And this is all in Matthew chapter 24. It's nothing happening in this Bible or going to happen that the Bible is not clearly telling the believers exactly what to expect. However, the manifestation of the sons of God, that we're going to have a solution to everything that happens. Why? Because God's going to make you the problem solvers for the earth because you're prophetically destined to take leadership. Praise God.
I hear billion flow inside of me. I hear that thing inside of me. Man. All right. Now, let's do this. I got to get out of here. Woo. Okay. Now, vengeance. Let's make sure we understand what that is. Vengeance has nothing to do with hatred or nothing to do with emotional resentment or any kind of emotional retaliation. That's not vengeance. Not the vengeance of God. But vengeance is the necessity of punishing offenders. And it proceeds from a love of justice. Vengeance. Now, recompense means to compensate, means to pay damages or return equivalent of anything that's done or suffered, to pay make amends or to pay damages. Recompense. But vengeance. So now let's look at Isaiah 61, please. And let's look at, I'm not going to hold you long now if you just bear with me just for a few more minutes. This is important that I'm giving you today. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that what? That mourn. Now I put all, underline all. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Lord, have mercy. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. Verse 7. For your shame, you shall have what?
Double.
Verse 8. For I, the Lord, love what? Put in your Bible, justice, because that's what the direct translation of that is in the Hebrew. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I'll direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they're the seed which the Lord has blessed. All right, a couple of things here. Vengeance. He said, I said to you that it's nothing to do with hatred, but it is a necessity of punishing offenders, and it proceeds from a love of justice. Justice is vital, a vital part of kingdom manifestation. Well, I'm giving you some stuff here now. That as the second coming nears the coming of our Lord, there's going to be a major emphasis placed on justice. That everything contrary to the rule and the law and justice of the kingdom shall be brought under submission. Are you with me here? So now, as we look at this, we look at this verse and see that Jesus read this verse, but he stopped halfway through verse number 2, and he just said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, close the book and sat down. Eyes of all them were on it. However, in this last day, Jesus ended his ministry. Now he's gone, seated at the right hand of the Father, and now he sent the Holy Ghost. And the ministry of Christ on earth has been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Spirit. And one of the main jobs of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. The Bible is thematic. That means what was done in one place for one group of people is done in the other. That God is consistent, he doesn't change. So what we did is we looked at a type of this happening, and we went back and saw where Moses was chosen by God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Why? Because their time was up. They had to make it to a prophetic destiny. And Pharaoh was full of pride, thought he was God, and Moses was now being raised up to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Now, anyone who understands vengeance, it makes a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Moses had to understand it. So God says, Moses, put your hand in your bosom. He did it. Pull it out. Leprous. Whoa. He said, put it back in there. Pulled it out. Whole. Now he's learning something about God here. And then he said, take the staff in your hand and throw it down. He threw it down, it turned into a snake. He said, now pick it up by the tail. Now Moses had seen some of this before, because Pharaoh, when he wants to be entertained, he sits right there and tell the magicians, come on out and do some tricks. And they could make sticks turn into this, and this turn into dogs, and this, so forth and so on, because they knew something about spiritual laws being taught by the devil. You're with me? Now this is a grown up, this is a grown folk message I'm talking here today.
So now he's second Moses because he's changing Moses' thinking and his perception about God and letting him see God as Elohim, the creator God. Say amen to that. God is everywhere. He can be right there and right here at the same time. So Moses has to learn this because he's brought up in this household. So now he's got to send Moses back to folks who he ran from. Now, he didn't know what the situation was, the Pharaoh that was after Moses to kill him, because Moses took his own vengeance upon the Egyptian soldier. But he took his own vengeance, but vengeance is not ours. Hebrews 10:30 says, "Vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord, and I will recompense." You don't need to fight your battles anymore. Say amen to this. Now, once you know that and act on it by faith, you activate the vengeance of God. You got to see what I'm saying here. All of this has to be activated by faith. See, God cannot just come in. Lord have mercy. Woo. Turn to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to finish in just a minute. I said I'm going to finish in just a minute. You ought to want to hear this. The prophet's about to tell you where what's going to happen in your future. Come on, God. Genesis chapter 18. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I said Genesis chapter 18. Are you with me? So look what he says in verse. This is when God is now going to allow Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed. See? And a lot of people think it's just because of perversion out there, but there were some other reasons why. And so it says in verse 23, "And Abraham drew near and said, Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked, or the innocent with the wicked?" All right? Because he's a just God now. "Peradventure that be 50 righteous within the city, will you also destroy it and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" Come on down to verse 25. "And be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the what? Judge." Keep going. "Of all the earth." Come on. Do right. Now, where is that scene again? Where do we see this? He's talking, call him to judge of how much? All the earth. He's not talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. He's saying the judge of where? All the earth. Let's go back over to Psalm, please, in Psalm chapter 75. Psalm 75. If you have Psalm 75, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 6 and 7. "For promotion cometh neither from the where? East, nor from the what? West, nor from the what? South. But who? God is a who? Judge." Keep going. He put down one. Come on. And sets up another. Notice he related that to promotion. So if you're at a job and they don't want to promote you, come on now. You can appeal to a high court. This is a court where promotions come from. This is a place God will make sure you get promoted. Man, you got to see this. See, this is good news to people who have been unjustly treated. This is a good news to people who have been unfairly fired from their job. This is a good news to people whose money has been embezzled, who have been kept out of things because of some faulty, demon-driven system. This is good news to folks who've been against some voodoo thing. This is good news to those people. I'm telling you, when you know that there is not a court in this earth. I'm telling you, now let me show you how this works, because that's what I want to do. I want to change your thinking on this thing. I want you to understand vengeance and recompense so that you can walk in peace. Amen. Say amen to that. You don't need to be disturbed. You don't need to be all enraged. You don't need to be mad and angry. You don't need to, none of that needs to be in your profile. You need to be one of them that's just floating along, taking it easy. When they offend you, you just step back and say this: you shouldn't have done that. Say, because you have got the judge of all the earth on your side, and the Holy Ghost number one job is to execute vengeance of anybody coming against God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Last place, let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to get that business started. Watch this. And it's going to grow. Matter of fact, it's going to grow so fast, you better get ready for the speed. I said speed. I said speed. There's going to be a speed. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 20. Yes, sir. See, we don't have to be limited by this system, because the enemy has used forces to try to hinder the Christians, delay you long enough so that you'll feel denied and that you'll drop your faith on it. But if I give it to you in speed, say amen to that. Oh, yeah. All right, let me just do this. Let me just finish this. So as I look back here, Genesis chapter 20, I don't think, I'm just doing stuff up here. I mean, when I say that, I mean, hey, when I throw water, that's because it's a shower of blessing about to hit on you. Now look what it says in verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and he dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourn in Gerar. And Abram said to Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of the Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. And he said to him, behold, you're but a dead man. For the woman which you have taken, come on, she is another man's wife. Now, notice what I told you. I said it's the necessity of punishing offenders, and it proceeds from a love of justice. Notice what I said, the number one job of the Holy Spirit is. Two, execute vengeance on anybody that's coming against God's people. But notice what he's doing here. In a dream, he said, you're but a dead man. Because you got another man's wife in here. And by the way, this man and this woman have a prophetic destiny. Come on now. I said you have a prophetic destiny. So in this, notice what he did. He warned him in a dream. God is not a killer. God is love. But he's a God of justice. So he warned him. And what did Abimelech do? He was a wise man. Wasn't quite like Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. But Abimelech had some sense. Say amen to that. So what did he do? He let him go. But he gave him some recompense. He said, let me give you a little something for what I did to you. Come on now. Come on, they're going to give you a little something for what, come on. Don't leave empty, because they owe you a little something. Boy, I'm saying that now, but some of y'all, they owe you a lot of something. Now, what happened? Can I just finish this? It'll take about 2 minutes. Don't come against me now, because the Holy Ghost is with me now. See, when you understand vengeance, you can walk into any situation. Because vengeance, you walk into a place that God has assigned you, you're divinely positioned. That means that nothing can touch you. Pharaoh couldn't cut Moses' head off. He couldn't touch it. He couldn't even think that thought. Hey, so you gotta be ever mindful of the fact that God is with you. The Holy Ghost is just as much God as God is God. Last place, look what happened. He let him go, gave him some stuff. I told you what he gave him. In the Living Bible, it says in verse 16, it says, he turned to Sarah and said, here, I'm giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver as damages for what I did to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding this matter. Now justice has been done. It's been satisfied. Now, what am I telling you? God has kept track of what they did to you, and he's going to make them pay cash. Now let's keep going. Verse 17, and Abraham prayed unto God, and God did what to Abimelech? He healed him, and his wife, and his who? Maidservant, that's the people who work for him, and they bear children. For the Lord had what? Fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, come on, Abraham's wife. Now I want you to see this. How old was Sarah? Y'all see how I'm saying that? How old? Come on now, this girl, how old was she? Because you go to the next chapter now, we're talking about having Isaac come forth. So she conceived. But when she conceived, how old was she when she conceived? About how old? 90 years old. About 90 years old. Now, wait a minute. Abimelech saw this woman and wanted this woman to come in his place at how old? Now, I'm only saying something. God is going to restore to you. He's going to beautify his house. The Bible says he's going to comfort all that mourn. I won't even go into that. That means anything that's making you uncomfortable, he's going to place an anointing on you to remove it. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. We need to get out of here. All right. Now, here's the deal. This has nothing to do with hate. This has everything to do with love. Love of justice. And God wants you to love people. But He's got a destiny for your life. And you will fulfill it. Now, if you're not in the family of God, you certainly need to be. Because this is for God's people. I know there's a whole lot more here, but I didn't go into it because of time. But I want to assure you of this. Supernatural teaching yields supernatural thinking. As a man thinking. This is why a lot of the people of God in their congregations are not seeing the supernatural. Because somebody's scared to preach it. Jesus didn't preach nothing that was natural. Because He was preaching information that came from a supernatural kingdom. And we need to stop this. I understand there are some natural principles, and those natural principles work anytime. But you've got to put the super on that. If you don't put the super on that, you'll find yourself competing with the world, and the devil knows how to make them beat you in a head-to-head combat. You are never supposed to compete with them. You are supposed to dominate them. You're not supposed to be competing with the same for the same jobs. That's old thinking, folks. You're supposed to either dominate the job or start your own company or buy the company.
Amen.
Remember they tell me about the Jews. The Jews, they wouldn't let them at one time because of hatred. They wouldn't let them come on the shores of Florida and in North Miami Beach. And wouldn't even let them come there. So what did they do? They bought it. They just bought it. It's not people, folks. It's the enemy. That's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I put some humor in there, and sometimes people don't like humor because they're so bound up with religion. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't got time for you. Let me tell you something. When you come in here and you own one of them big buildings downtown Chicago, then you can tell me something. I listen to you. When you come in here and you own about four of these banks when you come in here and you do something with your faith that let me know that you got some faith and you can work it, then I'm going to listen to what you got to say. Other than that, you need to listen to what I got to say. Folks, I had all kinds of stuff and people have come against me. Preachers come against me, all that. Now, all of them, they try to make up now and we all right and so forth. Folks, I had the enemy trying to sink my boat all kinds of ways. But I had a praying wife. So for you, what I'm telling you is this is your set time. Things for you from now on out in your life are not going to be the same as they were before. Your days of toiling are now over. When you don't have an answer to something, commit it to God, believe you received it by faith, go do something else. He'll talk to you.
I believe I spoke it in that prophecy. When you come to a Y in the road, yes, he'll lead you the way you are to go. Give the Lord a praise. That's what we got today. All right. Can I do this? If you're here and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, please give me the opportunity to pray for you. Years ago, I was working for IBM and things weren't going good in my life at all. I cried out to the Lord one night. He sent a lady who worked in our word processing area in IBM. She came and asked me, "Hey, Bill, you want to go with me tonight?" I was single. She looked good. I said, "Yeah." Can I be honest with you now? And what happened? We went. Drove on up the north side of Chicago, walked in the auditorium of a schoolhouse, schoolyard. People holding their hands up, praising God. I said, "Wow. What happened? I got born again. I got born again, looked like every weight lifted up off my shoulder." And not only that, things started happening for me. I remember I was trying to get to know God, and I was going by this Catholic church in the mornings, a Holy Name downtown, living downtown. And I'd go down there between their services, their masses, and I'd get on my knees and try to pray. Didn't know much about prayer, but I was seeking God with all I had. And I kept seeking him, and I started crying one morning. I remember that. And I remember what happened. A voice spoke to me, just as clear as I'm speaking to you right now. And he's been speaking to me like that ever since. He said, "Don't worry, William. You'll be all right." And when he said that, everything changed. I went to the top of the ladder in sales. All my debts got canceled. Oh, so forth. You just name it, just a row. What am I saying? One word from God will change your life forever. That's all you need is one word, because God is that powerful. Now, I'm saying there might be somebody here, and you might be laboring under the same thing I was. Oh, I was religious, but I had no relationship. And you might be in the same place. Well, he turned everything around. He healed my body, took me totally out of debt, took me job performance, went, you know, performance, so forth and so on. Whatever you need, God will minister to that need. But you got to come home first. You got to come back to him. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to call you. I'd like to pray with you the same prayer the man prayed for me that night and change my life forever. Now, don't be ashamed. Come in front of people, because whatever Jesus did for you, he did it publicly. He hung on the cross. I know they have him with some kind of a loincloth on, but he was naked, folks. They were trying to shame him the ultimate way. But he bore your shame so that you will never be ashamed of him. So if you're here right now and God has spoken to your heart, here's, give me this pressure, give me this honor. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to be used and go down on heaven's records as saying, "I prayed for you to come into the kingdom of God." So if you're here and you know that God is missing in your life, you know that, oh, maybe I've been religious, but I really don't know if I died today, what would happen to me, so forth. Why? No relationship with him. I want to pray with you right now. Now, I'm not asking you to join this church today. You can do that today or do it when God gives it to you. What I'm asking you to do today is make a decision for Christ. All that I talked about, that belongs to you if you come to Christ. If you're here and I'm calling you and you know that's you that I'm talking to right now, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me.